I'm on. Yes, I'm on. That was a good band tonight. Thank y'all. If y'all will allow me, I'd like to sit while I bring this little lesson tonight. Been in quite a bit of pain with my arthritis lately. No medication. We're trying a new thing with my doctor. So, and let me read a little joke first before we get started. Now, be truthful, y'all came to hear the joke, didn't you? Well, this one's called Long Live the Cowboy. A tough old cowboy from South Texas counseled his grandson that if he wanted to live a long life, the secret was to sprinkle just a pinch of gunpowder in his oatmeal every morning. The grandson did this religiously to the age of 103 when he died. He left behind 14 children, 30 grandchildren, 45 great-grandchildren, and 25 great-great-grandchildren, and a 15-foot crater where the crematorium used to be. I don't know about y'all, but I could just see that happening. You're not going to believe this tonight. Dave and I did no talking whatsoever. Only talking we did prior to this Sunday was Dave showed me a sermon he had thought about preaching, and it was geared more to youth. And I said, you know, I think people might not like your title too good. So he didn't preach that sermon today. He preached the one you heard this morning. Well, the title of my message tonight is God versus Science. So somehow, I believe y'all need to hear about this today. I want to read you something that's a true story. Happened a young man in college who actually wrote a book about it. That's the reason why I know it's a true story, because this is an excerpt from his book. Says, let me explain the problem science has with religion. The atheist professor of philosophy pauses before his class and then asks one of his new students to stand. You're a Christian, aren't you, son? Yes, sir, the student says. So you believe in God? Absolutely. Is God good? Sure, God's good. Is God all-powerful? Can God do anything? Yes. Are you good or evil? The Bible says I'm evil. The professor grins knowingly. Aha, the Bible. He considers for a moment. Here's one for you. Let's say there's a sick person over here, and you can cure him. You can do it. Would you help him? Would you try? Yes, sir, I would. So you're good. I wouldn't say that. But why not say that? You'd help a sick and maimed person if you could. Most of us would if we could, but God doesn't. The student does not answer, so the professor continues. He doesn't, does he? My brother was a Christian who died of cancer. Even though he prayed to Jesus to heal him, how is this Jesus good? Can you answer that one? The student remains silent. No, you can't. Can you? The professor says. He takes a sip of water from a glass on his desk to give the student time to relax. Let's start again, young fellow. Is God good? Yes, the student says. Is Satan good? The student doesn't hesitate on this one. No. Then where does Satan come from? The student falters. From God. That's right. God made Satan, didn't he? Tell me, son, is there evil in this world? Yes, sir. Evil's everywhere, isn't it? And God did make everything, correct? Yes. So who created evil? The professor continued, if God created everything, then God created evil, since evil exists. And according to the principle that our works defines who we are, then God is evil. Again, the student has no answer. Is there sickness, immorality, hatred, ugliness, all these terrible things, do they exist in the world? The student squirms on his feet. Yes. So who created them? The student does not answer again. So the professor repeats the question. Who created them? There is still no answer. Suddenly the lecturer breaks away to pace in front of the classroom. The class is mesmerized. Tell me, he continues, on to another student, do you believe in Jesus Christ, son? The student's voice betrays him and cracks. Yes, professor, I do. The old man stops pacing. Science says you have 5 senses you use to identify and observe the world around you. Have you ever seen Jesus? No, sir, I've never seen him. Then tell us if you have ever heard your Jesus. No, sir, I have not. Have you ever felt your Jesus, tasted your Jesus, or smelt your Jesus? Have you ever had any sensory perception of Jesus Christ, or God for that matter? No, sir, I'm afraid I haven't. Yet you still believe in him? Yes. According to the rules of empirical, testable, demonstrable protocol, science says your God doesn't exist. What do you say to that, son? Nothing, the student replies. I only have my faith. Yes, faith, the professor repeats. And that is the problem, that science has with God. There is no evidence, only faith. The student stands quietly for a moment before asking a question of his own. Professor, is there such a thing as heat? Yes. And is there such a thing as cold? Yes, son, there's cold too. He said, no, sir, there isn't. The professor turns to face the student, obviously interested. The room suddenly becomes very quiet. The student begins to explain. You can have lots of heat, even more heat, superheat, mega heat, unlimited heat, white heat, a little heat, or no heat. But we don't have anything called cold. We can get down to 458 degrees below zero, which is no heat, but we can't go any further than that after that. There is no such thing as cold. Otherwise, we would be able to go colder than the lowest 458 degrees. Everybody or object is susceptible to study when it has or transmits energy. And heat is what makes a body or matter have and transmit energy. Absolute zero, minus 458 degrees Fahrenheit, is a total absence of heat. You see, sir, cold is only a word we use to describe the absence of heat. We cannot measure cold. Heat we can measure in thermal units because heat is energy. Cold is not the opposite of heat, sir, just the absence of it. Silence across the room. A pin drops somewhere in the classroom, sounding like a hammer. What about darkness, professor? Is there such a thing as darkness? You're wrong again, sir. Darkness is not something in the absence of something. You can have low light, normal light, bright light, flashing light, but if you have no light constantly, you have nothing. And it's called darkness, isn't it? That's the meaning we used to define the word. In reality, darkness isn't. If it were, you would be able to make darkness darker, wouldn't you? The professor begins to smile at the student in front of him. This will be a good semester. So what point are you making, young man? Yes, professor, my point is your philosophical premise is flawed to start with, and so your conclusion must also be flawed. The professor's face cannot hide his surprise this time. Flawed? Can you explain how? You're working on the premise of duality, the student explains. You argue that there is life and then there is death, a good God and a bad God. You're viewing the concept of God as something finite, something we can measure. Sir, science can't even measure, explain a thought. If it uses electricity and magnetism, but has never seen, much less fully understood, either one. To view death as the opposite of life is to be ignorant of the fact that death cannot exist as a substantive thing. Death is not the opposite of life, just the absence of it. Now tell me, professor, do you teach your students that they evolved from a monkey? If you are referring to the natural evolutionary process, young man, yes, of course I do. Have you ever observed an evolution with your own eyes, sir? The professor begins to shake his head, still smiling, as he realizes where this argument is going. A very good semester indeed. Since no one has ever observed the process of evolution at work and cannot even prove that this process is an ongoing endeavor, are you not teaching your opinion, sir? Are you now not a scientist but a preacher? The class is in an uproar. The student remains silent until the commotion has subsided. to continue the point you were making earlier on the other student, let me give you an example of what I mean. The student looks around the room. Is there anyone in this class who has ever seen the professor's brain? The class breaks out into laughter. Is there anyone here who has ever heard the professor's brain, felt the professor's brain, touched or smelt the professor's brain? No one appears to have done so. So according to the established rules of empirical, stable, demonstrable protocol, science says that you have no brain, with all due respect, sir. So if science says you have no brain, how can we trust your lecture, sir? Now the room is silent. The professor just stares at the student, his face unreadable. Finally, after what seems an eternity, the old man answered, I guess you'll have to take them on faith. Now you accept that there is faith, and in fact, faith exists with life. The student continues, Now, sir, is there such a thing as evil? Now uncertain, the professor responds, Of course there is. We see it every day. It is in the daily example of a man's humanity to man. It is in the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil. To this, the student replied, Evil does not exist, sir. Or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and a cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when a man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light. The professor sat down. This was written by a book titled God versus Science. And oh, by the way, the author's name was Albert Einstein. He was that young man that stood up to the professor. Anybody that's been to college would know that you've faced a similar situation yourself. Our generation that I'm looking at primarily has, we grew up in an educational system where, first of all, this book was our primary instruction guide for every home. And therefore, with it being the primary instruction guide, no teacher would have ever dared try to even teach evolution in school systems. They would have been fired. They'd been fired on the spot. Even in college, my biology professor wouldn't even go there. She said, talking about like Dave was talking about this morning, she said, will you at least accept the microevolution that species change? And that's a fact. Of course it does, like Dave said. 1950s, average man in America was 5'5". Today, that average man is close to 6 foot, if not more. Species change through the years for different reasons. Let me read you the definition of science. Science is the knowledge based on observed facts and tested truths arranged in an orderly system. That's the definition of science. So for science to exist, for science to be a fact, it has to be a fact and a truth. It cannot be a theory. When you proclaim the facts and the truth, all scientists use what's known as the scientific method. And it's any scientific fact has to go through the scientific method in order to be considered a fact. You have to identify the problem or the question. You have to gather all the pertinent data. You have to form a hypothesis. You have to perform experiments to test these hypotheses. Then you have to interpret the results that you've gathered. And then, after these first five steps, then you have to draw a definite conclusion. Not a definite maybe, but a definite conclusion. And so how did the scientists or our schools ever decide that evolution is a fact and a truth? They using our scientific method of research, look at evolution on this topic. Now, when I'm talking about evolution here, I'm talking about the macro evolution from species to species. You identify a problem. Like I could see Darwin sitting back someday and saying, well, where did we come from? I can see that being a problem he stated. But then how does he start gathering all the pertinent data? How does he ever gather any data that shows that this little amoeba come up out of the water and that it started walking on dry land and it started breathing and all of a sudden he become an ape walking on all fours? And then suddenly he decides to stand up. We're talking about over millions of years here now, folks. And then, in other words, there was no data. There was no data together. Forming an hypothesis. Well, he could think it all he wants, but he's never going to be able to prove that hypothesis that we came from these microorganisms. But then you got to perform experiments to test the hypotheses. You would have to sit there and do it a test and show in the test step 1, 2, 3, 4 to where we are today. Mr. Darwin never done that. No other scientist ever done that. So definitely steps 2 through 6 could be impossible to be used to prove evolution. Let's just take a moment right now and read the story of creation. We all have read it many times, but I think it's good every now and then to look it over. Because we know one of the things we claim that is very important to us is the fact that this is God's Word. And we believe it from cover to cover. It tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth as it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning was the third day. Then God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the land and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So in the evening and morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, and cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle over all, and the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And that included the 6 days of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested. You know, we accept God's word. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we, as a Christian, you believe that Jesus, we do it on faith. Just like the example in our reading today by Albert Einstein. We've never seen God. We've never seen Jesus Christ. But we accept him by faith that he's our Savior. We believe that Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. and that He is our living Savior at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us and for you and me. So if we call on Jesus, He will save our souls from eternal damnation. We all believe that, right? Okay. If we believe in salvation, how can we not accept the entire Word of God to be factual? It's unquestionably the truth. And so much easier, because we're Christians, but it's so much easier for me to believe the account of creation than any of the evolution garbage that's out there. You know, Christian scientists have have more proof of a creator than any atheist evolutionist can claim. First of all, there is absolute proof that our entire earth has been covered by water at one time. That's the reason we find fossils, sea fossils, up in the high mountain ranges. It is the reason the Carlsbad Caverns exist today. There's evidence, documented evidence, that the ark has been found that was proved the flood. Many other evidence. I had the pleasure one time of sitting under a Christian scientist named Dr. Carl Ball. He was from Glen Rose, Texas. And there was actually a forged hammerhead that was found within a huge rock that evidently must have got deposited in a huge rock during the flood. This was a forged hammerhead of iron that knowledge only existed within the last 6,000 years. There's no way that there could be these millions and millions of years things that they try to prove that it is. You know, going back to the education thing, the evolutionists, they have tried to put a tie, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact name. It's something like some kind of man they created that was supposed to be the in between the ape and the man. You know, the missing link, they called him. And all it was a tooth. Well, that tooth they found is when they made the schools start teaching evolution. That is when it became a law in most of the states that they had to teach evolution, because this proved that we had evolution. Well, come to find out when they developed the ability to test DNA that this was a pig's tooth. It wasn't even human. And how they could have formed the whole theory based on one tooth, I would never know, you know. But anyway, Dr. Ball, a Christian scientist there in Glen Rose, Texas. Of course, most of you know the fact that Glen Rose, Texas there are many dinosaur tracks in the river there that runs through Glen Rose. They made a discovery there that the rest of the scientists of the world refused to acknowledge. But it's a very truthful one. First of all, they found excavated this dinosaur print. And by going within this dinosaur print, they found the fossil of an amoeba. And they found the print of a saber-toothed tiger. And they found the footprint of a man, all within this one dig, this one find. Now, what does that prove? It proves they were all there simultaneously. And chances are they were running from the flood. But they were all there simultaneously. So there isn't this millions of years ago, this little amoeba walked up on the earth and said, I'm going to be a human being someday. And going to the monkey and to all the other stuff, the millions and millions of years. They've tried to do this carbon testing. It's been proven to be false. So the point is, the discovery indicated that all were trying to escape this great flood and they were all present at the same time. So therefore, our earth is only a little over 6,000 years old. It cannot be dated back more than that. But Satan likes to attack Christianity. How did Russia, remember back when USSR was such a powerful thing, started with Lenin, they preached the doctrine of communism. They were atheists. And so how did they accomplish taking in all these countries over there in the USSR and turning them to communism? They did it through education. Nikita Khrushchev one time told us he would destroy America without firing a shot. And he would have if we hadn't had a couple of great presidents that stood up to him and to their regimes. But they do it through education. They took the little children in all these Russian countries and they had communism crammed down their head, that socialism is the only way to live. Your whole purpose in life is to work for each other. And of course, there was no God. And that is how they were able to rule that land for so many years before it finally fell when Iron Curtain was destroyed. Satan had to make Christians doubt the Bible's truth. That's how he gets his victories. Going back to my point when I first started, when you and I were kids in school, you couldn't find 10% of the people that would be willing to say they believed in evolution. It just didn't happen. Everybody believed in creation. Now, I've been substituting in schools now, and I can guarantee there is not 20% now that believe in creation. It's very, very sad. And they did this through education. Christians began to... there was a time... Now, I know this kind of sounds like, well, if we keep everybody dumb, then they'll be Christians. And I don't mean it to sound like that. But there was a time back in the 40s and 50s and 60s but we were a rural nation, and every home had 10 kids or more, and they didn't get any extended education. And so, therefore, they did believe the Bible. But then along come a time when we started becoming industrialized more and more, and as a result of that, then we started going to college. I was the first one in my entire extended family, 10 kids on both my mom and dad's side. I was the second one to ever get a college degree. I mean, that's just something people didn't do. They didn't go to college. But you go to college, anybody that sat in a college philosophy class, I sat in a monster class at Tech with 900 students with that same professor that Albert Einstein had. I mean, he had the same beliefs. I laid the lowest grade I ever made in any college class because I stood for creation and I wouldn't back down. And I did enough work in the class, he gave me a D so I didn't have to take it again. But he didn't like me because I stood for the truth. And then this led towards the unbelievers Christians began to doubt some of the truths. Unbelievers then began to proclaim these contradictions to the Bible as facts. We see it every day, and it's continuing on worse and worse. Liberalism within the church started taking place. Instead of the churches standing firm on God's word, you had some out here that starts to say, well, it's not really that way. God's not, he loves everybody. He's not ever going to punish anybody for nothing. So therefore, they started coming up their own and say, well, let's take the blood out. We don't need to talk about blood. That's not nice. And let's don't refer to Mary as a virgin. She's just a young maiden. And all sorts of stuff to destroy the Word of God, to destroy the truth of God. And the worst of them all is God wouldn't let anyone go to hell. Then our schools are attacking our children's minds. One of the things that's been appalling to me, substituting, I taught school from 10 years prior. I quit teaching in 1990. And I was just appalled at the difference. God was removed from the public schools in 1963. That's probably the first thing that Christians did wrong. Christians should have revolted. They should have done everything they could. I had those Supreme Court judges kicked out of there and got that overturned, but they didn't. And it's continued to go down since then as far as education. The teachers are required to teach lies. They are required to teach evolution. They are not allowed to mention the word creation. They are not allowed to mention the word God or Jesus or anything. They've taken discipline out of the school. That kid that you're sitting there trying to teach knows he's your boss. He knows that there's nothing you can do. I was teaching Friday, and they got noisy on me. And I said, young man, do you realize that if you was in my class 25 years ago, you'd be out in the hallway getting your rear busted? But that's abusing a child if you was to spank one. But it's not just that. They've also destroyed the curriculum. They do not teach reading in the way that we were taught phonetically. They do not teach writing skills whatsoever with the advent of the computers. Most kids cannot write at all. Spelling, history. History is gone. There is no teaching of history whatsoever anymore in schools. It's social studies. And social studies says we all got to live together. And we all got to love one another, which is true. But folks, if you don't know where you came from, you're going to make the same mistakes those folks made. And you're not going to have any pride in your country, and there's not going to be any reason to call this your home. And math skills. Jody was telling me about a deal with the second graders. You got three columns here you're adding, 123 and 144. You start with the left column. You add the hundreds first. Then you add the 10th column. Then you add the one column. You get three separate totals. Then you add the three totals. Now, is that not stupid? I mean, why can't we do it right? Why do you not have to teach these kids some stupid way to do something? Because it makes them think. Why can't they pass a test if they know how to think? They can't pass a test because they're not being taught what they need to be taught. So we need to work with our legislatures, our governors, anybody that we can to change our curriculum. And somehow or another, folks, we've got to get this one back in the school. I don't know if it'll ever happen because everybody's afraid we're going to warp their personalities, but we're not. When I took my training in Christian education, they actually told us that's what the part of the body was made for. I don't know if that's true, but definitely a child needs to know that there's going to be discipline or there will be consequences. So, folks, God expects His children to be children of faith. So the question is do we believe the Bible from cover to cover? You know, we've taken this stand. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on the Bible. Yes, I stand on the Bible. And I believe that God's Word is true, and that is our only hope of salvation. And thank goodness we do know the outcome. Sometimes it gets kind of discouraging when you see stuff like I see in the school system. Don't get me wrong. Kids are still sweet. They're still sweet today as they were 50 years ago. I'm not talking about the quality of the kids. I'm talking about the education system we've got the kids in. That's what needs to be changed. So I hope you all have a good week. If anything you need, you feel free to call us. Brother David should be back tonight. He could be back now for all I know. But Jody has to work tomorrow. I will not take her class a third day. They got one of them young men. I can guarantee you he may be the next mass murderer in the cross. I bet I hollered his name out at least 50 times Friday. And that's the only bad part, folks. The only thing I've got in discipline, I can holler at him. The principal can holler a little bit louder. If we really get mad, we can kick him out of school for 3 days so they can have a party. No, that's not what education's about, folks. I'm sorry, that's one of my hot topics, but I don't like what they've done to our schools. So, y'all have a great week. Let's be dismissed in prayer now at this time. Dear Lord, we come to you praising you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God of truth, that we can stand on that truth and have faith in that truth, that you died for us on the cross, that you are our salvation. And dear Jesus, we pray for and thank you for the blessings you've given our church. We thank you for the ones that joined today. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless as we go on serving you. Guide and direct us now and give us a good night's rest for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.